Let us pray together. Gracious God, now beneath and within these human words, may the words of your Spirit speak to us the living word, and beneath our human hearing, may our hearts truly hear the word that gives us life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please imagine being given this assignment? Over and over, say love without using any words. You are to be a mime. Or someone unable to speak, and to say love again and again without any words at all. Your assignment is to do this for an entire year. And do it many times, every day. And you can't use that sign language thing of folding your arms across your chest. Just get love unmistakably expressed in silence. For as many people as seem right to you, in as many ways as seem right, every day for a year. What would you do? Give lots of big hugs? Look more carefully and attentively into people's eyes? Take food? Give gifts? Lend a hand in work that somebody needs doing? Would you write them a letter or email or a text? We'll allow that much language. Would your wallet come into it? Your credit card? Your checkbook? Would you open some door of belonging and beckon? What would be different when you walk through town or walk through the door where you live? What all would you be busy with? And how would the look on your face be? And how creative might you need to become? And how do you think the people would feel who witness your love for them and for others? And how would we feel? Since, of course, you wanted bigger ways to say love to a greater number of people, and you beckoned us to join you, and you let us beckon you to join us. Won't you love it when that year is up? Finally, you can talk. And among all the words that you're free now to say, you can now also use words like love, care, support, encourage, welcome. Do you suppose such words would have new resonance for you, new depths of meaning? And power, because for so long you didn't say them, only showed them? I'd like to be very clear that the words we do say do matter very much. What a hypocrite a preacher would be to say words don't count. They matter enormously, our words to each other and to the community and the larger world. It is a totally false distinction we make between words and deeds, because words are deeds. They are deeds of the lips with tremendous power, not only for doing bad, but for doing great good. With the right offering of words, encouragement can be accomplished. Strength can be imparted. Falsehoods exposed. Shame swept away. Confidence and courage and hope inspired. I believe in words. Never forget the power we have to make changes by the words we speak and how we speak them and when. And never forget that when the time comes to say something for love's sake, if we remain silent, that's not just doing nothing, that is doing harm. So yes, we must deploy words to express compassion, support, advocacy, encouragement, welcome, and truth, all of it. So, why would today's text from 1 John say, "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action"? The answer is pretty obvious. The good we can do with words is never a completion of the good that is needed. The love our speech conveys will lose its power soon, unless it's practiced, embodied, expressed in action. And the insidious thing is how words can be pranksters and seducers if we let them be. Meaning, they will fool us into believing that when we have felt the right thing and said the right thing, we've done it and we're done. We can speak the word of support, encouragement, advocacy, justice, and I love you and God loves you and God loves us all. Then down comes the banner, mission accomplished. When in fact, having heard the right word, what somebody also needs, what they may need much more, is a meal, is your time, is tangible help, is housing, a just wage, a full and outreaching welcome into ongoing friendship. In the beginning, it was good to hear the word conveying love, but if it never got embodied, it was never made real. And through that nothingness, a dry wind comes blowing back to the words we had spoken and turns them to dust. Turns them to a lie. In this way of word without action, we fail other people. But today we should know that we also, when we do not give outward expression to what we know and what we believe and what we say, we are also doing great harm to ourselves. It is positively damaging to the soul to know what is right and believe what is right and to say what is right and never put our bodies into it. The expending of our time, our resources, our lived lives. You live that way, it will hollow you out, make you deeply false. In Saul Bellow's novel, Humboldt's Gift, this fellow Humboldt is a poet who in his 20s had written brilliantly, but now in midlife is under-functioning, depressed, suspicious of other people, not finishing projects, drinking, taking pills, and the narrator of the novel says, by way of explanation, unwritten poems were killing him. And so with us, we are wired for love's expression. It is in us to show it forth, to give and to live our love outreaching. And if we do not, then unexpressed love is killing us spiritually, emotionally, relationally. So when Scripture says, little children, let us love not in words or speech, but in truth and action, that's not only a word in behalf of other people who are in need of our love, it is a most gracious invitation to our own wellness. Another word for that gift is integrity. The alignment of what you know and believe and say with your actions and behaviors toward others. It's a good start. The feelings, thoughts, words. But more is wanted to make it real and make us whole. I heard a man speak of his friendship with a psychologist and how one evening when they were out with some other friends, he said to his psychologist friend, "Tell me one thing I can do to help with my depression." The psychologist friend said simply, "Finish something." Is this what makes many of us so spiritually anemic and so joyless? Our love not carried through to its embodied reality, our uncompleted obedience to love's command. Our text in 1 John says that this is actually the root cause of our uncertainties about ourselves and the weakness in our faith. How do we find confidence that we're children of God? How do we get over our own sense of shame and find new levels of freedom and courage? The text says it is by pushing ourselves through to obey God's command by embodying the love we've known by our actions. Listen to the words again. By this we will know we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts whenever our hearts accuse us. We have boldness before God because we obey God's commandments, and this is the commandment: to believe in Jesus and to love each other. In other words, do you doubt yourself? Does your heart accuse you? Do you doubt ever that you are truly and forever God's own child? Then here is what you do. You show love in action. Trusting Christ, be obedient to the commandment of love. This will tell you again who you are and who your neighbors are and who God is. It will tell you even again how real your life is while you have it. Do you understand that this is the absolute center of Christian faith? This is our story. That all was created by love, then all throughout time, God's word to the world was love. But God knew in time that in such a world as this, love's word was not enough. So the Word became flesh, embodied love, touched people and healed them, broke bread and fed them, held children in its arms, entered religious institutions to confront and set free, feasted with outcasts and welcomed them in, lifted up the faces of the sorrowing, and then suffered anguish and pain and laid down its life. The love embodied died. Then the Word spoke again. And love rose as a vision, a spirit, a metaphor. No, embodied. And then before leaving our sight, passing the embodiment of risen love onto us. And this we do with words, of course, and by making and sustaining great friendships, and by giving real gifts, by welcoming strangers, spending time with the sick, the infirm or lonely, befriending the children, serving the poor, doing what we can towards social and economic change, helping to do what the work of the church should be. And every bit of that is another way of saying, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Dorothy Sayers, the great mystery writer and lay theologian, said, "If they ever invite me to preach, I know what I'll say. I'll get up and I will say, you know what to do. Do it." Little children, let us love. Not in words or speech, but in truth and action. Amen.